Happy Groundhog Day, Brendan.
Happy Groundhog Day, Alan. Happy Groundhog Day, Brendan.
Happy Groundhog Day, Alan. The Not a Thing podcast is up and running for episode 174. I realized last week.
Did we just loop some episodes?
I realized last week I added an episode. I said it was episode 183. Last week, so when we get to 183, we'll have to reference this again, I'm sure. But it's episode 174 this week. We're back. It's Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day, Alan.
For whatever that means, I still don't really understand. Other than the fact that it created a wonderful movie with Bill Murray, I don't know. Seasons don't really make sense here in California, so
right. Well, Punxsutawney Phil, I believe, did not see his shadow, so it's supposed to be an early spring.
Okay, sure, let's go with that. So I spent.
I wonder what that groundhog thinks about climate change.
Yeah. He only saw part of his shadow, so it's. You get like a week and a half more of winter or something. I don't know. But I spent my Groundhog Day at the beach wading in the water. And it was sort of drizzling. It's kind of crazy. I was helping Virginia, a friend of mine who's a teacher. She had a beach cleanup. And I was helping chaperone that. And that was fun. Not exactly what I expected to do on the, 2nd of February, but it was much more fun than being indoors.
Yeah, I was indoors all day, so I got that going for me.
It's good. Don't worry. I spent a very California day outside, and, Punxsutawney Phil supposedly is forecasting summer is back, and I think winter and summer and seasons and stuff like that, as much as we joke about them not really happening in California, are actual things because of the axial tilt of the Earth and the Earth being a round thing. And it's amazingly kind of interesting. This comes up this week as one of our favorite hashtags was in the news this week. Our hashtag kind of that we toss around for our potential sponsors to show just how far we would go for sponsorship. Flat Earth was in the news this week, and not because we got a sponsor, because we didn't. Sponsoring the Not a Thing podcast is still officially not a thing, but if you would like to sponsor us, we'll have to use a different hashtag. Flat Earth is being declared off limits for us because of the controversy in the news this week. So musical artist, if you can call him that, B.O.B. Fired up a tweet storm talking about hashtag Flat Earth and the Flat Earth theory of and how people who think that the Earth is round, including folks like NASA, are hiding the truth from many of us. And I think as funny as it is, and as much as we love the exposure, I think part of it is that we didn't get any exposure from it.
I didn't even think about that.
But secondarily, Neil deGrasse Tyson, noted science wonk, came out and
no, not science wonk out, science badass.
came out and replied to B.O.B. on Twitter and on his blog, and generally showed all the evidence for the Earth being round and other.
He made a diss track, Alan.
Yeah, well, so first B.O.B. made a diss track of Neil deGrasse Tyson, and then Neil deGrasse Tyson had his brother or his
nephew
write response diss track, which we will link all of this in the show notes. It's fantastic. I mean, there was a rap battle about Flat Earth, and we profited from it by nothing. So in sort of in protest of not getting any sweet sponsorship money from a hashtag that I like to think we popularized.
Yeah, we championed that.
Yeah, we're retiring the hashtag Flat Earth. Also because Neil deGrasse Tyson's totally right, and the world is real.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
yeah. No.
I mean,
if Neil deGrasse Tyson says it, then we're gonna defer to that. Sorry, Pluto.
So the question becomes: what is our new kind of hashtag for when we call for sponsors? We've had some over the years. We've made some, I believe, Moon Tent.
Moon Tent.
That was a good one. And I thought we had one more.
See episode, insert episode here. Where we had another hashtag.
Yeah, that was such a good one. That was a great episode. but we in thinking of what hashtag we should use, we kind of combed through ideas that are interesting and weird and strange, and the one we have settled on is and get your sponsorship dollars ready, hashtag lizard people. For those that don't know, there may or may not be
there's not
lizard people infecting and infiltrating all layers of government, and it being an election year, I think people want to be especially cognizant of hashtag lizard people, although we won't really officially use it until we start getting sponsors.
No, and that's the whole point of the sponsorship hashtag is lizard people is not a thing. But if you pay me enough money, I will say wholeheartedly that lizard, I will use the hashtag lizard people. I will campaign on behalf of bringing awareness to lizard people. It's a low dollar amount. You know where to reach us.
Or if there are other hashtagtivism kinds of ideas you'd like to further, please let us know. Please sponsor us. We would love it, if only to keep the lights on.
We have almost no dignity when it comes. And there are some topics you can't pay me enough. Like we're not going to use Trump 2016. We will not do any Holocaust denying.
We won't do hashtag Flat Earth anymore. So
hashtag Flat Earth.
We're putting that one to bed. If you would like to sponsor us in any way, hashtag lizard people, we'd love to work on that. And if you'd like to be on the show and talk about your experiences with lizard people or whatnot, whatever, anything, almost anything is fair game. We'd love to have you as a guest. It was fun having Jürgen as a guest last week. I hope we answered all of his and your podcast questions. If you have any more or have any thoughts about our podcast, please let us know. Tweet at us, Facebook us, use the website to get a hold of us, all that kind of stuff. But do not send us dick pics, because that is not a thing in almost any instance, really. I think dick pics are not a thing. But an Instagram model or two have actually come out against kind of unsolicited dick pics in a really interesting way. Rather than kind of just complaining at the person sending them, because that often does nothing to dissuade them, because it is seemingly a private interaction, they've taken those interactions and are publicly shaming them, or at least shaming them to their potentially online wives and spouses and girlfriends. So a couple folks on Instagram who have fairly large followings. There's one model who claimed to have, I think it was 2 million followers, and was claiming that she would get maybe one or two unsolicited dick pics every day.
I think unsolicited is the key word in this, Alan.
Sure.
I think conceptually, the dick pic could be a thing, but it's the unsolicited nature of it that is the real problem.
Well, it's certainly a thing. I just don't. I think unsolicited dick pics is okay, I guess. Maybe?
Yeah. What if they're solicited, why not?
Sure.
If people can own selfie sticks,
yeah,
people can take solicited dick pics. Statistically low that you're gonna actually someone's gonna ask for that.
I just feel like they're unflattering in almost any, in almost every context. It's really hard to take a good dick pic, I think. And using the word hard in dick pics is really not a thing also.
I'll defer to your experience, Alan.
Let's move back to the heart of the matter here. So what the models do is they, when they would get unsolicited dick pics, they would look through the sender's tweet history or Instagram history and find their girlfriends or spouses or whatever in the pictures, because they'll generally tag them or like them or be identified, and they will send the tweet history or comment history or whatever that's, you know, the offending kind of messages that would be there, and send it to that girlfriend to shame them into stopping the dick pics from coming. And I think this is, I think it's hilarious, and also probably very effective. But I don't know if it would necessarily act as a deterrent unless more people know about it. So I think
that's why we're trying to raise awareness.
Exactly. So I think I don't think we can have a short hashtag for this, because unsolicited dick pics is already too long, and what we're doing is talking about like unsolicited forwarding of unsolicited dick pics.
Conceptually, we can agree that this is a thing, and
yes,
what they're doing is potentially an effective deterrent. But it also speaks to the larger issue at hand, which is rampant misogyny and the use of anonymous screens on the internet.
Yeah,
and people feel like they can do whatever they want, and treat, especially women, have a hard time on the internet.
Well, I think the funny thing about this, or not funny, but I think, you know, you nailed it about anonymity, but these people aren't even anonymous. This is just, I mean, they're not anonymous enough that these models are able to figure out who the sender is and who the senders are.
That's even worse.
So yeah, so it's just this really is just rampant, like unsolicited dick pics, because of how the internet works, and B, how kind of devalued women's opinions are. Really, I mean, it's treating people not as people, which we've spoken of again and again on this show, is not a thing. Yeah, I think raising awareness of this to turn it into a deterrent would be great. We need a shorter name for it, but I don't know what it would be.
Send us your suggestions for a shorter version of hashtag unsolicited dick pics.
But please don't send us dick pics. I'm not.
I mean, unless you could really do it tastefully.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're always unsolicited to me.
That's fair.
Speaking of unsolicited things sent, we're going to stay in the phones, but moving away from smartphones and moving into just telephones in general. Did you know that you can make and receive phone calls on telephones? It's news. It's crazy.
I'd heard legend, but I have not experienced this.
It's still a thing, but definitely still a thing is telemarketing onto phones. I still get telemarketing calls on definitely on my landline, but I've been getting them more on my cell phone more recently, which is really annoying because I used to get zero and now I seem to get a couple every day. And it's not, unfortunately, the kind of thing where I can figure out the caller and then shame them into not calling, but a kind of interesting programmer has put together an artificial intelligence bot to make the process more painful for the caller. So what this person has done is they made a phone number that they've preloaded with a bunch of responses to common telemarketing speak about kind of keeping that are meant around keeping the telemarketer on the line as long as possible, wasting their time. And it doesn't necessarily deter them from calling or make them hang up, but what it does do is waste all of that manpower and hopefully the money that they're using to pay that manpower and ideally hurt the bottom line of the telemarketers. It's really interesting. So if you forward a call to this number and it's run as the Jolly Roger Telephone AI, I believe is the name of it, and it will answer the phone and say like hello, and then do a bunch of things that are like delaying tactics. So it'll listen for pauses in the telemarketer's speech and kind of an answer with kind of a or a yeah. And every once in a while, it'll throw in a delaying tactic like, oh, hold on, hold on. And then have this kind of off, like off hook conversation with someone else in the room and go, oh, sorry, could you repeat what you just said? I just got distracted. And then it forces the caller to just re-explain themselves again and again and again, and it draws them out. And what the guy that made this bot will do is if you email him about the time and phone number that you forwarded from, he will send you the recording of the call so you could, I guess, listen to it later and laugh. And he posts them online on his website, and it's pretty fantastic the lengths that the telemarketers will go to and how persistent they are in spite of the kind of growing frustration that happens. And generally, I'm against this kind of thing because I feel like it's the only person it directly hurts is the person that is making those calls, the sad person in this call center that has decided that their only income stream or their one of their income streams has to be calling for a telemarketer. But telemarketing is so not a thing to me. The just kind of the awfulness that exists of a business whose model is to kind of shotgun spam as many people as possible in the hopes that they get just, so few hits to make that business model worth it. I really think that telemarketing on the whole should go away, but similarly to kind of spamming and other things. But I don't know. What do you think about this? I think it's a novel way to do it. I think the only part that makes me uncomfortable is the human element of that person that's actually making that call.
That's because you're not a robot, Alan. Treat people like people. I respect the ingenuity, but everyone just has a job.
Yeah.
They don't always have a choice as to what job they have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. There are no what is it? War is hell, as they say.
I don't know if telemarketing can be compared to war, but yes.
I think telemarketing as a job is really, really sad. And I hope that people are not in such dire straits that that is their only income stream. Hopefully other things will come to replace it. We'll link the story in the notes. It's interesting again to listen to the calls just from a from from a like what does it sound like perspective, but do remember that there are actual people involved in this kind of in this enterprise. So do be cognizant of that. But otherwise, let's see, moving from phones and talking about kind of artificial intelligence and things like that into one of the things that power a lot of the computing power out in the world is data centers. And that's a novel approach to data centers is being put together. There have been a number of interesting ways to do this. Essentially, you have to have a bunch of computing power in one place. I mean, that's how a lot of things run, a lot of websites, a lot of internet services, many smartphone apps and things like that are run from data centers all around the world. They're essentially just big rooms full of computers. And when you put a bunch of computers in a room, it gets hot. And then that company has to pay for cooling of those things. And so there have been a number of ways to kind of work on this to make them more efficient and to cool them more efficiently. And one such way is to cool them with water. And there have been a few approaches to this from Google and other companies that have a lot of data center power. But Microsoft is taking this a step further and not just running water to cool things, but actually to take the data centers themselves and put them underwater. So it's you have to encase them in a way that they can be shielded from the water, but otherwise the radiant heat gets taken up by seawater or river water or whatever body of water they end up using for this. So you're not spending money on cooling. I think it's an interesting way to do it. It certainly seems like a thing. What it does do though is it makes working on those computers a lot harder.
Well, they designed them to last down there for something like 5 years. So they theoretically don't have to do any maintenance regularly.
I feel like 5 years is a really long time for computers. I mean, even,
I ought to be out of date.
I mean, Microsoft especially, they release a new OS, it seems like every other year.
Oh, maybe that's how you can avoid Windows 10. Just bury yourself at the bottom of the fucking ocean.
I think it's funny that Microsoft would be burying their own computers, you know, to avoid their Windows 10 updates by putting them underwater. I just look forward to donning a scuba suit to work on computers underwater. I think all it's doing is making IT a more specialized and lucrative career, really.
I support that.
Kind of staying kind of interestingly in tech, there's some another way to manage heat and manage kind of the temperatures of cooling and expenses involved is to make more make things more heat resistant. And one of the most resistant heat things or things. Whatever are we going here? One of the things most heat resistant is ceramics, and they're used often in computers and a lot of things. In really the building blocks of a transistor can be made out of ceramics. So one company, and I think it was kind of a project that was made in conjunction with a university and a lab. And what they're doing is they're making flexible ceramics, and there are some flexible ceramics on the market, but this one in particular, they're shooting for the thickness of like tissue paper, and with a similar amount of flexibility, which is really really impressive considering the costs involved, because it seems to be similarly priced to a non-flexible kind of substrate. It looks really interesting. There's a demonstration where they're holding a lighter to the material, which looks roughly like kind of a tablecloth kind of material, but it does not, you know, it does not burst into flame at all, and in theory, it still has all the electroconductivity and insulating properties as like a ceramic would be. I find this interesting because it was linked specifically for making circuit boards and other kind of electronic components. I just want this stuff as like a fireproof suit.
Yeah, let's build my house out of this.
There's probably like a downside to it not being it probably doesn't breathe at all, so it'd probably be real bad as a as an actual like thing of clothing, but I like.
Do you think fireproof suits we currently have breathe very well?
Well, I think Kevlar, I mean, that really isn't fireproof, it's more like fire resistant, right? And I think I mean, like Kevlar breathes to some degree. It's still a fiber that you weave, whereas this is more of a. It doesn't look woven. It doesn't look like cloth in that it has individual fibers. It's just like a solid piece of ceramic that is also flexible, which just sounds really cool. But I think it wouldn't breathe at all. Whereas I'm pretty sure things like Kevlar and carbon fiber do. But I don't know. I mean, they should really send us a sample so we can do stuff with it. I don't know what we would do with it.
Come on, the Dutch. Hook us up.
Otherwise, kind of set us on fire and set things on fire and stuff like that.
I will gladly set you on fire for the podcast, Alan. You're a brave man.
It does sound really interesting, and it has a lot of applications. I think you know, they have to combine this with other things. I mean, there's heat resistance there. If it was impact resistant, like if you could turn it into an armor, it just sounds has so many really interesting applications, because it could be a circuit board substrate, plus it dissipates heat, plus it's an armor. I mean, you're really looking at like the...
Maybe this is what Reed Richards uses to make the suit for the Human Torch.
Yeah, exactly. Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Futuristic materials are a thing.
Yeah, we've talked about a few on the show. I mean, there's these, there's the blacker than black carbon nanotubes.
Yes,
we talked about in the past. I think
metal.
Yeah, there's all sorts of cool applications for that. So hopefully, there'll be more interesting materials as we go. If you have any, please share them with us, because it's really awesome. And also share the facilities that you use to test them, because that's really what I want to do. I want to go to a place and like shoot through bulletproof glass and, you know, attempt to set things on fire and stuff like that.
Well, didn't you recently do something similar to that?
Well, that's right. So last weekend, and actually this weekend, I took a blacksmithing class at the Crucible, which is it's like what Tech Shop would be if it were run by people from Burning Man, which is to say, really fun and generally pyromaniacal artists, really, really fun group of folks. So I took blacksmithing. We had like a 3000 degree propane forge that, we heated up metal, put it onto an anvil and hit the shit out of it with hammers. It was awesome. Highly recommended as a thing. I think if I had one caveat, it would be maybe not take the weekend intensive version of it. So what I took was the weekend intensive version of it, and it's like a 16-hour class. So it's really two full days of swinging very heavy hammers and hitting things that are, you know, above 1,000 degrees, So the caveat is I maybe not do it as a weekend intensive one because it's really trying on your body. Like you, unless you swing hammers kind of for a living, it's a very interesting motion that will make you very sore afterwards. And also, do take this class in the winter because, like I was saying, the multiple thousands of degrees in a in an enclosed space will eventually keep you warm. I was in a t-shirt almost the entire class because it's so hot. I can't imagine doing this in the summer where when you leave the room, it's still warm. They do offer the class as a multi-day class, and I think they even offer it as a like weekly class, so you could take like just 2 hours a class, and I think that would be a lot more doable. We made a couple hooks to hang things on, a spoon, which was very difficult, maybe the most difficult thing. We made a fork, which looks real badass. It's kind of two tines, looks like a kind of like a carving fork. And then we made a knife out of rebar. That was kind of cool.
Sweet.
So I think it's a real cool class. Stuff of the Crucible is really neat. Definitely check them out. They are 100% a thing. I would say again though, maybe not the intensive class only because 16 hours will take a toll on your body. So going from something really, really metal to something equally badass is a story out of Holland, I believe.
Again.
So we have two stories from the Dutch. The first one was the flexible ceramics, which were really cool. But this one is yet another in the kind of growing drone intercept stories that we've had on the show. And what's really interesting is the article that I found that mentions this mentions all of the other ones we talked about on the show. So we talked about the drone intercepting like kind of quote unquote gun, which was essentially pointing a really strong antenna at a drone and confusing it so it mostly falls down. We talked about the drone intercepting drones that they had in Tokyo, where it's this mega drone that's like 6 feet across and it has a net that it deploys to catch smaller drones. And we've talked about like the what was it, the Navy anti-ship drone like drone seeking like missiles and stuff. And that's great. Obviously, there's a lot of technology to be thrown at drones in this kind of escalating arms race. But the Dutch have gone a different route, a non-technological route to stop the spread of drones, unwanted drones. Again, I mean, drones obviously have some utility potentially. We're still kind of looking for it, but there are places that people don't want to have drones for whatever reasons, and I think those are all valid. And having ways to intercept them are inherently interesting for our show. And this one in particular is amazing. So the Dutch are training eagles to capture drones.
The eagles are coming.
The more I read about this, the better this story got. So just that alone is fantastic, right? We're training eagles, birds of prey, to do what they do best, which is to snatch things out of the sky that they want to attack. So they're these police are training the eagles to capture drones. And the eagle will snatch the drone in its claws, bring it back to where it nests, and thinking that its prey will kind of pick at it for a little bit, and at that point the trainer will come in and retrieve the drone and probably give the eagle a treat or something that it would actually want to eat rather than kind of an electronic mess that it has since captured. I think this is That on its face is fantastic, but it gets better. So the police aren't directly doing this. They're subcontracting with a company that makes or that that trains eagles and raptors, other birds of prey. And that group is called Guard from Above, which is great. And furthermore, the all of this training is happening in The Hague, in which is the you know where the where they do like war crimes tribunals and training birds of prey to attack drones. It's fantastic. There's a video of the birds capturing like a small like a Phantom DJI Phantom kind of size drone quadcopter, snatching it right out of the air like it was nothing. Really
You
fantastic
can't
stuff.
jam an eagle.
And furthermore, there was some concern over the like what happens to the these birds, because the blades, the spinning blades of the quadcopters obviously are potentially dangerous to the bird, and they're looking into armoring the bird in some way in order to keep them safe.
Yes.
It's just everything about this is awesome. So
It
it's 100% a thing. Intercepting drones via Eagle. We hope the trials go well. I'm not sure if it would work in the U.S. just because so many of the eagles are on the endangered species list, but that being said, if you armor eagles and have them like flying through the air and snatching drones out of the sky, maybe that would be good for the eagles. Maybe.
It built their self-esteem. I know, I'd be pretty proud if I took down a drone.
I think this is a really great way to do this. I mean, they could have a whole campaign about them in the US, you know, bald eagles already a symbol of American patriotism, and having them, you know, keeping the skies safe. There's so many ways they can take this. So this is it's still in its trial phases in Holland. If everything goes well and they find a way to keep the birds safe and keep and then keep the intercept rate up enough, they're going to look into ways to deploy it kind of more formally. I think this is a
We should
thing.
formally deploy it as a pod. We need a podcast eagle.
Podcast Eagle. That's
Yes.
that should be a thing. Excellent. Well, I think you know, I'm gonna go outside and see if I can train some bird to do something to drones. Hopefully, maybe not for next week's show, but we'll see. We'll see what we can do.
I'll start looking on eBay for eagles.
Eagle Bay? Is that it?
Y'all.
Oh, sorry.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Talk to you next week, Brendan.
Till next time, Alan.